Yeah, amen. You know, Jaime, that song was my message because he took what was wrong and made it right. You know, I'm just going to, God has been so good to me. And this, that's what life is all about, you know, just the Lord. What else is there? And you know what? We do live in perilous times. And Timothy and Paul encouraged Timothy, keep the faith. And that's what we're here for. I mean, it's all about day-to-day faith. So, okay, well, praise the Lord. You know, when Pastor Herman asked me to share, and there's so much, you know, you just have to bring it all together and see what's happening. So, yeah, I just, so I'm going to share with you tonight what, you know, what God has done for me and in my life and my family's life and how good he's been and how good he is. We serve a good God. We serve a great God. Amen. Okay, why don't we open our books to Mark, please. Mark chapter 5, we'll start there. So, yeah, God has been good. So we're just going to see where we go. Okay, how about we start at Mark chapter 4 and 35, 435. We'll start there and see what happens. Oh. You know, it's kind of cool because, you know, the Indians used to have a saying, it's no matter what happens today, the sun will always come up tomorrow. So if I fall flat on my face tonight, the sun will always come up tomorrow. Nah, just kidding. Okay, cool. All right, verse 35. You know, yeah, okay. I wasn't expecting my daughters here, but thank you for showing up. All right, verse 35. Later that day, after it grew dark, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side." So we'll stop there and we'll go and because we already know what happened there. You know, they crossed the lake, a storm blew, and he fell asleep. But his thing said, let's go to the other side. So he knew he was going over to the other side for an assignment. You know, nothing was going to persuade them, but that was a word. Let's go to the other side. So let's go to Mark chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 1. Okay. They arrived on the other side of the lake, the region of Gennesaret. As Jesus stepped ashore, a demon-possessed madman came out of the graveyard and confronted him. This is the Passion, so I don't know what you guys are following. The man had been living there among the tombs of the dead, and no one was able to restrain him, not even with chains. Every time they attempted to chain his hands and feet with shackles, he had snapped the chains and break the shackles in pieces. He was so strong that nobody was able to subdue him. Day and night, he was found lurking in the cemeteries in the vicinity, shrieking and mangling himself with stones. When he saw Jesus and his disciples, he came, threw himself before him, screaming out by the top of his lungs. Wow, can you imagine that? Just all those demons just screaming. Ah, must have been scary. But so he says, "Leave me alone, Jesus, Most High God. I know that you came here to torture me." And Jesus already said, "Come out of that." He already commanded the spirits to come out. So anyways, Jesus said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Mob." But some of the translations say legions. You know, and on my footnotes, legions is, can be, let me see, 6,000 men in the Roman military, 6,000 men. So we're, you know, 6,000 men were camping in this guy. And so let's go, okay, let's see, okay, we'll just keep going. He begged Jesus repeatedly not to expel him from the region. Nearby, there's a large herd of pigs on the hillside, and so he asked if he could go in there, so Jesus permitted him, and the whole herd of pigs went down and fell and drowned. And verse 14, now the herdsmen that seen it fled to the nearby villages, telling everyone what they saw, and ran through the countryside, and everybody came out to see what happened. When they found Jesus, they saw the demonized man sitting there, properly clothed and in the right mind. Seeing what had happened to the man that had thousands of demons, the people were terrified. Those who had witnessed this miracle reported the news to the people, including what had happened to pigs. Verse 17. Then they said to Jesus, leave the region. And Jesus began to get in the boat to depart. And the man that had been set free from the demons asked, "Can I go with you?" And here this is the cool part. And verse 19 says, Jesus says no, but said, go back to your home and your family and tell them what the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. So the man left and went home to the region of Jordan and Syria to tell everyone what Jesus had done for him, and the people marveled. Yeah, so you know what? I take that home. I take that personally because, you know, my upbringing, you know, I was born in L.A. and in a small part. It's called South Central. And it was actually a war zone, you know. It was crazy, and my parents were crazy, and, you know, my uncle, his name was actually Ruben Cano, but they nicknamed him Chico. He did drugs for the Mexican mafia. My dad was some type of gangster, and the whole thing was, you know, you come to our house, it looked like the Godfather house, people carrying guns and everything. So I came from a pretty gnarly background, but, you know, when I got set free, you just know, you know. And I tell you, the night that I got set free, so anyways, let's see if I can round this up. Okay, so anyways, there's pretty cool too, really fast. Elvis Presley sings a song, A Poor Little Boy Is Born in the Ghetto. And then how he's born in the ghetto, and then the generational curse goes on. He dies, and another baby's born in the ghetto. And that's what happens. That's what happened to my families, you know, to my family members. But I said, no way, I ain't going to do this. So at one time, okay, we lived during the Watts riots, and it was just, anyways, it's a crazy, crazy time. And anyways, I'm so thankful that I left there, and I was always in trouble. You know, I was like this madman. I must have been arrested about 15 times. I was more locked up than I was free. And so this madman is me. You know, I was crazy. And you could ask my wife, because when I first met her, I asked her, because I knew she knew the Lord. And I wanted it. I wanted that. I just wanted that. And so I wasn't really asking her out for a date. I said, hey, you know what? Because we both worked at the Hyatt. And I was crazy there, too. People just know me as crazy. And I asked her, hey, let's go out for lunch or go hang on the beach. And she said, what, you and me? Are you crazy? That's what she said to me. Are you crazy? Yeah, I am. But eventually, she invited me to church, and I started going to church. And then I lived in Paia. And at that time, I was driving back and forth, but my license was suspended for drunk driving, so I didn't have a valid driver's license. So I started hitchhiking back and forth. But anyways, there was a church up the street. It was North Shore Christian Fellowship with the Tubmans. And so I started walking up and down there to church and hitchhiking back and forth to Kaanapali, which was a drag, but I wanted to be right. One night she said, hey, there's a prophet coming up to that church. I said, really? A prophet? And I'm only like 2 weeks into it. So I thought it was going to be like an old man with a cloak and, you know, beard and carrying a staff. So we go up there, and I'm like 2 weeks into it. And so she brought all her Christian girlfriends and stuff. So I'm in the second row, and I'm looking for him. And, you know, it was Dave Hanks. It was pretty cool. So the whole message, we're like second row, he just kept looking at me. I was like, what's he looking at? You know, and then eventually he came up to me and, you know, was still talking, and he laid his hands on me. I can never, that feeling was just a breath of fresh air just rushed through my body. You know, I heard I was tweaking a little bit. My neck was tweaking and stuff like that, I heard. But, you know, I got set free that day. I've never turned back. You know what? For me to turn my back on Jesus, you'd have to kill me. You know, because there's no way. I mean, he's been so good. And that was, you know, when I was single. And then I go ahead and, you know, we got married and I got kids. And, you know, and God has been so good to us during our walk with him. I mean, it's been a journey. And it's been a good journey. Of course, we have our ups and downs and stuff. And, you know, just as Pastor was saying that, you know, we do live in the end times, and in 2 Timothy it says perilous times. And, you know, if we think the COVID trip was bad, you know, there's things going to come up. And I'm not a, you know, an expert on anything, but, you know, it had to take out a quarter of the church, you know, because we just see it from our church. And if you can't hang in there from then, you know, And I look at Julio, I mean, because we've been through the trenches here, and, you know, it comes the opportunity to get offended, and offense does come, but, you know, God has been so good. You know, it doesn't stay. God has been so good. So, you know, and then when I got saved, my family had a hard time receiving it. You know, when I go home, there's big old parties again, just have a few beers. No, I mean, you guys rather have me locked up than you know, they didn't want to hear anything about the Lord, and after a while, they just came to accept it. But, you know, just like that song that Jaime was singing, man, that's the message, you know. But God can fix anything. God can fix anything. God, there's nothing that God cannot do, you know. And so, you know, does anybody have the Living Bible? Because the Living Bible says something really cool. I know James has that fancy thing that he can find on his phone, but I don't know how to do that. But the Living Bible says something about him going sharing to his family and friends. And it, you know, brings it home. Because when I first got saved, people thought I was crazy. But, you know, I was actually in the right mind. I was, you know, basically clothed and in the right state of mind. So, yeah. And that touches on that. So why don't we turn to, let me see. How about Luke chapter 7? Please. So is that making sense? I hope I'm making sense. Okay. You know, it's pretty cool because, I mean, you could, you know, how should I say it? You know, I don't want to, you know, I've never really wanted to be anybody important, or I've never chased after titles or anything at my places of employment and churches and things. But, you know, God places people where he wants them. You know, have I ever thought about standing up here and speaking? No, no way. I mean, it would just trip people out at home to see, you know, to see where I've been and came from. Actually, when I first got saved, my youngest sister is saying, wow, Cheryl's a miracle to you. Cheryl's a miracle to you. Like, she's my savior. I said, no, it's Jesus. Jesus is saving. Well, something changed. You're a miracle. I am a miracle. Okay. Let's see. Seven, we'll start at, let me see. Yes, sir. Oh, cool. Thank you, Pastor. Ooh, that's tiny. Let me see. Yeah, he went home. Let me see. Crowd laughed, amazed, walked immediately, stood up to him, overwhelmed, amazed. Gave him strict orders not to tell anybody what happened. Oh, this is, where am I at? Okay, it should be over here. No, let me see. Getting into the boat. Okay, right here. Okay, thank you, Pastor. Sorry about that. It's small. I get my bag and my glass, too. I'm believing Jesus for the new eyes, too. And he could do it. Okay, as Jesus was getting into the boat, sorry, guys. The demon-possessed man begged him, can I go? But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell everything that the Lord has done for you and how merciful he's been to you. And, you know, I could cry again, but that's too cool. Thank you, Pastor. How are we doing this? Oh. Here's that, sir. Thank you. Okay. All right, where are we going next? Okay, let me see. 7. Whew, hallelujah. You know, it's kind of cool because, you know, I know you guys are family and I feel comfortable up here. It's pretty cool. Yeah, okay. All right, where was I? Mm-hmm. Darn. 7:38. Sorry, guys. Okay, here we go. Verse 36. We'll start at 36 in chapter 7. Okay. Afterwards, a Jewish leader named Simeon asked Jesus to come to his home for dinner. Jesus accepted his invitation. So he went to Simon's home and took his place at the table. In the neighborhood, there was an immoral woman of the street known to all as to be a prostitute. When she heard that Jesus was at Simeon's house, she took a flask made of alabaster, filled with the most expensive perfume, went right into the home. She was bold. She was bold. You know, we got to be bold with God. You know, wherever God, we just need to be bold. Okay. So she came into the house, where I'm at, went right into the house of the Jewish religious leaders and knelt at Jesus' feet in front of all the guests. You know, that's really cool. That's boldness. That's faith. That's faith. Broken and weeping, she covered his feet with tears and fell on her face. She kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair. Over and over, she kissed Jesus' feet. Wow, heavy. Then she opened the flask and anointed Jesus' feet with costly perfume as an act of worship. You know, she probably got this costly perfume by all these religious leaders. When Jesus saw what happened, he thought, this can't be a true prophet. If he were, he'd really know what kind of sinful woman she was. And Jesus said, Simon, I have a word for you. He says, go ahead, teacher. I want to hear it, he answered. So he told the story. You know, there's two men deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000, and the other owed him $10,000. And none of them was obvious, was able to pay the debt. So the banker graciously wrote off the debt and forgave them both. So he said, tell me, Simon, is it Simon or Simeon? Simon, okay. All right. Which of the debtors are more thankful? Which one loved the banker the most? And Simon answered, I suppose it would be the one with the greatest debt forgiven. He says, you're right, Jesus agreed. Then he spoke to Simon about the woman still weeping at his feet. Don't you see this woman kneeling here? She has been doing this. She did this for me, and you didn't bother to do it when I entered your home as your guest. You didn't even offer me a water to wash the dust off my feet. Yet she came into your house and washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You didn't even welcome me into your home as a customary kiss or greeting. But from that moment she came in, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet and taking time to anoint my head with fragrant oil. But she anointed my feet with the finest perfume, She has been forgiven of her many sins. This is why she has shown such extravagant love. Those assume they have little to forgive, love little. But Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And then it goes on. It says that your faith has healed you. So you know what? When I read that scripture, you know, you could really tell people, you know, that that really have been forgiven for a lot, you know, because I take that home, and you know, this, you know, it's of a grateful heart, you know, it's a grateful heart, you know, and just it shows in your walk with the Lord. And just like I was talking just a minute ago, you know, to get offended, like I said, offense comes, but to stay offended, it's ridiculous. And just as Pastor opened up, you know, we are going into some heavy days. And you thought the COVID was a trip. You know, Cheryl listens to all this Flashpoint stuff, and I don't like listening to that stuff because it's like, you know what? I just go into it when it happens. But things are getting ready to take place on this earth that, you know, as a church, we really need to get it together and keep it together. So that's basically it in the bottle. Let me see. Okay. Da, 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 da. Wow, it's too early. Okay. Okay, it's good the pastor's laughing. Oh, boy. All right. So, anyways, okay, let's go to Luke chapter 23. We're already in Luke anyways. Luke chapter 23, verse 40. Okay, this is pretty cool, because I heard this on the radio just before, during the resurrection week, and we're going to top on it now. Okay, this is, let's start at 37, 38. Okay, over the head over Jesus' head on the cross was written an inscription, Greek, Latin, and Aramaic. This is the King of the Jews. And all the soldiers laughed and scoffed, saying, hey, you know, if you're the King of the Jews, come down and save yourself. One of the criminals hanging on the cross to Jesus ridiculed him. What kind of Messiah are you? Save yourself and save us from death. And the criminal hanging on the other cross rebuked the man, saying, don't you fear God? You're about to die. We deserve this we deserve to be condemned, for we have just paid, being repaid for what we've done. But this man has done nothing. This is the criminal, the criminal committed his right mind talking. Then he said to Jesus, I beg you, my Lord, show me grace and take me with you to your everlasting kingdom. And Jesus just responded, you know, I promise you this day that you'll be with me in paradise. You know, it's pretty cool, because that was Jesus himself, you know. I mean, this guy probably never been in church before. You know, this guy wasn't baptized. This guy didn't talk in tongues. He was fresh. He was a criminal. We don't know what he did. But the love of God, you know, nobody knows the love of God. You know, we think we might have a glimpse of it, but we don't. You know, and that just, like, when I heard that, I had to just look at it and look at it, too, since it was Easter week. But, you know, God is real. God has been real to me. God has been real good to me. You know, he got me through. I mean, I should have been dead or in the pen forever, you know, because I can't say that I was the right, you know, I was all wrong. I was bad. There's people I think about now that, like, gosh, man, I wish I could see them again just to apologize, you know, just the past. And then, you know, these girls surprised me. But, you know, the kids are serving the Lord, you know, and, you know, God has been good. He gave me a house that we couldn't afford. And actually, we just got a check in the mail for $430 from the insurance company. Just out of the blue, 2 years later, we get a check. But anyways, yeah, I mean, God has been good. Yeah, and just before Jesus went up, he told his disciples in one of the Gospels, saying, you know, now go out and preach the gospel to all the world. You know, when you're not preaching the gospel, your life shows it, you know. And, the harvest is ready. We just got to get our sickles out there and time to reap. So, yeah, that's basically what I got. Is that long enough? We still got 10 minutes. Okay. Should I sing? You don't want that. Oh, boy. Well, I guess this is a Wednesday night crowd. I didn't want to scare everybody away. Which one? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. No, this is a different one. This will be a... Yeah, this is BC. I used to work the night shift in L.A., and after work on Thursday nights, we always used to go cash our checks at bars and stuff, and there's one bar, so we drank all night, and I got on the freeway. I didn't know where I was going because it's crazy freeways down there anyways. I don't know, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Anyways, I fell asleep on the wheel, and I hit a car and went overboard and tore out all this light posts and stuff. I was in big trouble. And I woke up in the hospital, and my arm, it was because I used to drive a van, and it turned upside down. And the battery acid was leaking on me, and a whole bunch of rubbish was leaking on me. So it leaked on my arm right there and my leg. So I woke up, and they're saying, oh, we're just waiting for you to wake up because my arm, was like about like this big. I mean, like elephantitis, really big. It was huge. And, yeah, and my leg too. And they're saying, oh, we were waiting for you to wake up because we need to amputate your arm. because there's so much chemicals pumping through your body, you know, and your leg we're going to try to save. And I was still jagged. I said, no way. You guys aren't cutting nothing. I'll just die. So anyways, a couple days later, I wake up and I'm in a tent, you know, because nothing could touch me. And so, yeah, I mean, and so I survived. And they did some skin grafts, and so it kind of got back to normal. And and then after that, they wanted to give me a lot of time in prison and everything, but it was God's favor. They dropped the ball along the line. Well, I remember waking up on the gurney in the hospital, and there's two motorcycle cops there. And they're saying, okay, tell us what happened. And I said, oh, my friend was driving, and he must have got it. They said, no way, just tell us the truth. Because my brother at the time, he was in the police academy. He wanted to be a police. And I said, will this affect my brother? He says, okay, well, it won't. So I don't know, maybe they changed it around somehow. But yeah, they were looking to give me like 7 years in the penitentiary, because it should have been, but they kept it as a misdemeanor for some reason. And I remember the going down, because it took like 2 years to even try to get to the final days. And the judge called two people up, the district attorney and my lawyer, and said, how I could hear him, how was this even like this? You know, how is it even a misdemeanor? This guy should be put away forever. But anyways, yeah, so I didn't have to go to prison. I went to jail for a while, but I didn't have to go to prison. So for a couple of years, but yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, well, of course, because I owed $1 million to everybody, and I didn't have anything, so yeah, I had to file bankrupt, and yeah, so it's, so you guys got a chance. So anyway, we should probably stop there because I don't want to scare everybody away, so. But yeah, I mean, my whole life has been like, there's no way, you know, there's no way I should even be here. There's no way I should even be alive and anything. You know, I mean, there's stories. We could do one, listen to stories. I could just tell stories and stories. My kids don't even know stories, but half the stories they don't even know because I'm shame. You know, I just stay shame. One more story. Okay. You okay, Pastor? All right. Well, we grew up in the Watts riots, 1966 or something like that. I was like, you know, fourth grade. And there was this area, because Watts riots, I don't know if you guys know what the Watts riot was. It was crazy. You know, South Central, there's like Inglewood, Compton, Linwood, Southgate. And where I grew up, it makes Compton look like Garden of Eden. So, you know, there's a curfew and there's people, you know, military guys in Jeeps with machine guns around and stuff. And so when they used to bus to school, there was an area that the bus driver would say, okay, kids, put your head on your laps. So we put them down, and of course it's all caged, and people from both sides throwing bottles and rocks, just, you know. So, yeah, and so that's kind of the area we grew up in. But after a while, towards my late elementary days, we moved to a city called Orange County. But we still had that rubbish in us, of course. We were crazy then. We were crazy over there. So, but yeah, I mean, my dad, you know, he was a heavy alcoholic. And, you know, the good thing there was no child abuse back in those days. Well, you know, the kids beat us up on the street. The nuns beat us up in school. And then my dad beat us up at home. So... So three strikes, we're gone. So you know, take your pick. And East LA was just right. We lived in like 103rd in Vermont. So on the other side of the boulevard, that's where the Mexican side is. But we grew up like, I'm not knocking, saying anything bad, but we grew up in the black area. So, you know, it was bad news. I mean, we're the only Mexicans in that town. And it was, you know, you fight every day. You go to the liquor store two blocks away. It's just crazy, you know. Your dad say, go to the store and get some whatever. Oh, my gosh, really? So there's three brothers, so we have to go. And, you know, you wouldn't take bicycles because you get beat up and they get stolen. So you'd have to just kind of sneak through bushes the best you can and see how many scraps you don't get into. But, yeah, I mean, you know, people grow up in that stuff. And people don't leave it. You know, you think about the kids like that live in like Iraq or Iran with constant bombings going on. That's all they know. they think that's normal. And yeah, that's what we think that's normal. So, you know, I mean, when I got saved, you know, I quit cold turkey. I moved over here. I probably got thrown in jail about four times over here for all kinds of things too. And I was, my last one was I didn't have a driver's license because it was suspended for DUI. I was up country in Poli Poli's drinking with my brother. You know, I don't remember because I lived in Paia, so going down Baldwin, it's kind of hard at nighttime anyways getting down there. I don't remember getting home. So I wake up and I lived in a cane house with a tin roof and it was pouring rain. I go, wow, what? So I would go out to my car to see if I hit anything or anybody. It's, you know, I don't know what, it was crazy. And then at that time, I said, God, that's it. And I just, at that time, you know, I was hooked on drugs and alcohol. I just went cold turkey. You know, that right there is God too. You know, I just went cold turkey. I said, this is it. And yeah, I never turned back. And so, yeah, it's, God has been good. God has been good, and God has continued to be good. You know, we're at my house. We're in the middle of transitioning. All my kids are moving away, and yeah, we don't. You know, I'm getting close to getting ready to leave FedEx, and life has been good. Life has been good. So, hallelujah.